Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Come on, let every heart say amen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We get to rejoice and be glad. Amen. Amen. You might be here this morning, and maybe you're wondering, well, what I got to be glad about? We here. Amen. We got a lot to be glad about. One of the things I want to do before we even get started, just stemming off of the song we just heard, you know, I don't know what we're building life on. Talks about a firm foundation. And the thing that really stuck out as I was listening to the song, we're building something. That we're working every day. We're doing something to build something. The question is, what's the foundation? And so this morning, I just want us to think about the fact that there's never been a time that God failed. We may have blamed him for some failure, but God does not fail. Oftentimes, it's our decisions, it's our thoughts, it's our considerations, the things that we've done that oftentimes has consequences. And when those consequences does not change, we wonder, why didn't God step in? And I'm here to tell you this morning that our God, the God that we come to celebrate this morning, he can't fail. Amen. He knows everything about you. All we need is all we got. And all we got is what we need if we got Jesus. So as we prepare our hearts and our minds, it is so easy, come on, Hope Elim, it is so easy to get distracted and to let something stand in the way of the blessing. Not today. Push through whatever issue, whatever situation, whatever thing that stands in the way. Whatever it was last night, push your way through. Whatever it was before you got here, maybe your parking spot, I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe it was a conversation in the car, I don't know. But whatever it is, we here now. Maybe you didn't even talk on the way to church. Maybe you was something last night that you had to sleep in another room. Whatever it is, I'm saying we here now. Like the God that we serve, he knows everything. He knows our frame. He knows the intents of our hearts. He knows our issues. He knows our needs. And everything we need, God's got it. And he can use anybody he wants to. So it's not about a preacher, a pastor, or a prophet. It's about the obedience to an almighty God who he says that when we call upon his name, he's faithful, he's going to show up. So I'm trusting in an almighty God that he will do what he said he would do. So God, I pray now, God, hide me behind the cross. God, I pray now, God, that someone here, God, will have brand new eyes and will see you clearly, God. That someone's ear, God, will be unplugged, that they will hear you, maybe even for the first time, in a different way. God, I pray now, Lord, that somebody's heart, the walls that have been built up, God, that you would break them down. God, I pray now, God, for that one whose heart, God, has been hardened by hardship and by heartaches and disappointments in life. God, that you will allow for that heart to be supple, that heart to be soft, to receive the scattered word that will go forth. God, I pray now, God, because of who you are, that you are faithful to do what it is that you will do. God, so I ask now that you would hide me behind the cross. God, that you will let every intent, every meditation of my heart be acceptable, God, that it would go forth and hit its target. God, the preaching of the gospel, the good news, to some it's foolishness. But unto those who are saved, it's the power of God. God, when we preach the cross and him crucified, it's the power of the cross. And God, I thank you now, God, that you would move the way you want to move, God, that you would hit the target, that the one who came for one thing, they would get something else. God, let the Spirit and the Shekinah glory, let the glory fall and rest upon each and every one of us. Let us feel your glory this morning. Let us leave this place different than the way we came in. And God, let us be careful to give you all glory. We love you now. In Jesus' name. If I say amen. Ooh, I had to find my way. God be praised. Amen. Okay, if I say it's time, you say let's go. It's time.
Let's go.
It's time.
Let's go.
Come on, 11 o'clock. We're going to raise the roof on it if we can, all right? Can't stop. Okay, so we're going to keep it right there. We've been working through a series of Bible heroes. And if you know anything about Paul, much like Peter, there's too much. It's just too much. So we got to land somewhere as we walk through an aspect of the life of Paul. And so to land, I'm suggesting that we go on a journey of faith. But as we go on this journey, let's go all in. All in. The portion of our hearts that we're not going to show anybody because it was broken. And the portion of our lives where when we come, we put the mask on because we can't show everybody everything. I'm saying let's go all in. That we give him everything. That today we give him our hearts and our hands and our hurts and our history. Let's give him the hate, the stuff that we hate, the stuff that is in there that we don't know how it got there, the stuff that's been hiding, all in. The life that Paul led, his lifestyle was a lifestyle, no matter what he did, he went all in. And I think there's some good news this morning, no matter how old you are, no matter where you've been, no matter your background, that what God is looking for all of us is to say, okay, I'm not going to just dip my toe in the water, I'm going to jump in. You know you can't learn to swim by taking a correspondence course. You got to jump in the water. And when you jump in the water, you get all wet, you get submerged. Today, I'm asking to be willing, Hope Elam, to get submerged in the Word of God, that we go all in, that we give him everything, our brokenness, our bitterness, the doubt, the things we don't understand, the things that we've been wondering about, the things that we've been asking him about, the things that we've been calling him on, that we give him all the stuff that we got and we give it to him. Because if you've been holding on to it, how's that going? How's that going, holding on to the thing that you got? Because the thing that we got, my Bible tells me, only what you do for Christ will last. So all in, what I'm talking about, I'm saying, whether the diagnosis is in your favor or not, up or down, whether she comes back, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell, whether she comes back or not, up or down, whether the papers come in the mail and whether you get that loan and they get to forgive it or not, God is still God. I'm saying up or down, God, I'm going all in. I'm trusting. I'm giving you everything. Whether or not you get to a place to where you see God, you hear from God. Somebody right now, other people talk about how they saw God move and how they heard from God, and you've been desiring it, and you've been looking and seeking, you hear nothing. Up or down, whether God is yelling and screaming or he's whispering with a small voice. I'm saying for somebody, whatever it takes, God, whatever you want to do, have your way, reign over, take over. But God, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going all in, God. Whatever you need to do, do it. Whatever it takes to get my attention. Ooh, that's a crazy prayer right there. Aaron, I don't know about that one, Aaron. Like if you go all in, you say, God, whatever it takes, I want to be so close to you, God. I'm chasing after you, God. I embrace you. God, I want to feel your breath. Because if I'm in your presence, I know everything is going to be all right. God, help me to remove the things that I keep putting up to keep me safe in my own little bubble. Let me let somebody else into my life, God, so I can really get beyond the thing that I'm dealing with. Somebody needs to know whether you have a little or a lot, you go all in. Whether you're hungry or you're full, whether you're in darkness or in light, God, don't matter how much I got, because I can't take it with me. So God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm putting all my chips in the middle. I know easier said than done, but today, let's go all in. We already been there. Somebody, you know what's the easiest thing to do? Is quit. It's quit. And some people right now, you have quietly quit on your job, in your family, in the church. You keep showing up doing the same things, but your heart ain't there. And the enemy wants you to keep going, keep so you can think, I'm doing it, I'm here, everything is all right, and you're broken. God is saying, wait a minute, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. All you need, I got it. So what God is saying, listen, give me everything, all of it, all your fears, all of the things that you hold near and dear, the stuff that you're afraid of, give it to me. I'm going to take it. He says to us, no matter what, it's time. Let's go. Come on, Brandon, it's time. Let's go. All right, well, let's go. So Apostle Paul, born in Tarsus, raised a strict Jew. That's important. Because Paul was so sweet, he was raised and educated under Gamaliel, one of the leading educators, right? But then also was in the Roman, he was a Roman citizen. He was had all of this duality that he was living almost in two worlds. He was also known as Saul. He became an apostle to the Gentiles. The same people that he was persecuting, the same people that he was murdering. Ain't that something that God would take a murderer, a persecutor, and make him a preacher? That he would take a murderer and make him a minister to those that he was murdering? He wrote letters, over a third of the New Testament. He faced issues. Okay. Sometimes you can be all in and be all wrong. You can be all in trying to, where Paul landed in his family, in the time that he landed, had to do with understanding the Mosaic law. That Paul understood rules and religion. He understood the tradition of it all. Paul understood that the Mosaic law was important, and it is. The law is important because it shows us our sin. The law is important because without the law, we don't understand where we're missing the mark. But the law cannot save us. We needed a savior to save us. So, you can be all in and all wrong. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. He was eager to kill the folks who was talking about Jesus, talking about this risen Savior, to talk about a Messiah. What you talking about, Stephen? Stephen was preaching in the Holy Spirit, and when he got done preaching, they stoned Stephen. They killed Stephen, and Saul at the time was right there. Stephen looked up into the heaven and he saw Jesus standing on the right side in a place of authority. And when Stephen said, God, don't charge it to him, Saul was right there. He was someone who thought he was doing the right thing. He thought, who dare stands against the Mosaic law? Who dares talk about something? You got to be circumcised. If you're not circumcised, you're not saved. That's the religious aspect. He was eager about tradition. And hear me say, Hope Elam, where tradition is going to build us up and edify, we're going to do tradition and we're going to celebrate. There's plenty of tradition to celebrate. We're going to do it today. But there are some tradition that does not usurp the authority of God. Where he was wrong is that he had all the zeal, he had all the enthusiasm, he had all the energy, he was eager, but he not accepted the fact that there was a new sheriff in town. He was Jesus. He was on the scene to set free those who were lost. And the Mosaic law, while it was important, Paul says, look, y'all know me. Y'all know I was the main one. And matter of fact, my zeal, it went far beyond my fellow Jews. He said, I was the one bringing it. He was all in. But in some cases, he was all wrong. So when you have all this eager and you focus on tradition, you need to be enlightened with the truth. Now hear me. On Damascus Road, Paul at the time saw, he heard the truth. The truth was revealed to him. You could be here today and the truth is revealed. It's information. The truth being revealed is important, but we want to go from information to transformation. At some point, the truth was revealed in him. He had an encounter with God. We're going to get to that. But first, he was enlightened by the truth. Bible says he fell to the ground once he heard a voice saying, Saul, what you doing? Why are you tripping? Why are you persecuting me? What are you doing? And he said, well, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. I'm the one you're persecuting. He heard him. He heard the truth. Jesus is the truth. And when he heard him, he understood. But the Bible says when Jesus was teaching, he said, it was to the believers. He said, once you as my disciples, you follow my teaching, you do what I say. He said, then you show forth to the world, you're my disciples. He said, you're going to know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So if you're here today, I'm saying, listen, if you're bound by rules and religion, you're bound by a certain way that you grew up, you're bound by the family that you landed in, and this was what they did, and this is what they taught you, that's fine. Why don't you go ahead and look at your Bible? And once you understand, and once you understand that truth usurps tradition all day long, once you come into the truth, it will lead to transformation. So I'm saying to somebody, when you are eager about tradition, we'll show up with hands and feet and serve and do all those things because we have to earn it. We have to get to a place where we have to do the things to get acceptance. And God said, you don't have to do stuff to accept the grace that I come to give. You can follow the tradition as it benefits and gives me honor. He says, but beyond tradition, get to the truth. And when you get to the truth will lead to being transformed. Transformation says you're going to do some things differently, that you're going to make different decisions in life. You can hear the truth and go back and do the same things you've been doing. Your ear can be tickled. There can be something that moves in your heart, but you don't accept it. There's too much stuff. It's too hard. There's too much hurt. You don't know how. It's somebody who's there, some people that you let get in the way. And all of a sudden, you hear the truth, but you can't get to transformation because you have been enlightened, but you have not had an encounter. When you have an encounter the way Paul had on the road of Damascus, you have an encounter with, well, what did the encounter look like, Pastor Brown? Well, when Paul got up, he couldn't see. He had to rely on the other, his mellows and his fellows to help him and to get him where he needed to go. And so he told him to get up and go where I'm going to send you. And at the same time, God had already gone over to Ananias. Now imagine this, if you're Ananias, I don't know how to make Ananias a female name. Maybe you Ananiasia, if I make it a female name. You Ananias or you Ananiasia, whichever the one, God comes to you and God says, I need you to go and you know that one who's persecuting all the Christians? I need you to go lay hands on him and to help him to be baptized. And Ananias is like, what? I don't think so. I do not think so. Somebody here today, it could be that your obedience, your willingness to do what God tells you to do, maybe the person has a reputation, maybe the person don't has a story past, and maybe there's something about the person that you don't like. But God says you need to go. Come on, Ben. Your obedience may be the thing that someone else's life is dependent upon. Because you have something, just no matter what they look like, no matter where they're from, what they smell like, what their reputation is. And Ananias had a job to do. And God went to him. When he got to Paul, when he touched Paul, it says instantly, something like scales fell from his eyes. And he was then baptized. And after he was baptized, he said, immediately, the all-in zeal of Paul, he began preaching. Immediately, it's the same God. He just understood the truth of it. The same one, he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying he is indeed the Son of God. What am I saying? When you have an encounter, when you know for yourself, when you know that things was one way and then they're another way and you called on an almighty God and you encounter him for yourself, nobody can take that away from you. And watch, watch. It could be you sitting here right now and you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 encounters with God and still not transformed. If you just see a glimpse of his glory and your heart opens up to him, you say, yes, Lord. Begin to walk with him. He will transform you. You can't transform yourself. An encounter, when you experience God and you encounter him, at that moment, he begins to make a change in your heart. When he gets your heart, he'll get your hands. He gets your heart, he'll get your habits. Get your heart, he'll get your hang-ups. He'll take care of your history. He'll take care of the hate, all that stuff. When you have an encounter, so somebody, maybe you're here today, and God is saying, give it to me, all of it. Stop snatching it back and trying to do it yourself. Give it to me. Put it in my hands and walk with me. A journey of faith suggests that you're walking with him. You're chasing after him. There's something about Jesus that you can't get enough of. You can't get enough of listening to his word. You can't get enough of being in his presence because you've had an encounter with him. You're familiar with when he talks about it in Romans 12, too. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed. And it starts when we renew our minds. It's how we think, the things that we consider. It's the crave, it's the lust, it's the things of our flesh that God is saying, listen, the moment you crave it, cut it. Cut it off. Flip the script. The moment that something starts, stop it. Because if you don't cut it off, you're going to start to consider it. And if you just start to consider, you ain't moved on it yet, but you're not cutting it off. But the moment you consider it, all of a sudden, you're having a conversation about it. You're plotting, you're scheming, you're figuring out. Because you know, if it gets to that point, it's going to be part of your conduct. Transformation is at that moment, something stirs, you say, it just ain't right. God says, we all can get to a point, but we got to be conformed. We got to be transformed. And I thought about this. So what it means, Trent, just it's a change. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new consideration when you typically all your life has been doing this and you know that's going to lead to a conduct that you don't want. Call somebody. Pick up the phone. Pick up your Bible. Do something different at that moment. Shift, transform. And then once you get stronger, once you get strong, you'll be like, I didn't do it again. And you get some days, and you get some months. And all of a sudden, you start standing up a little bit taller. And all of a sudden, watch what? God will send somebody. He'll send somebody to mentor, but he'll send somebody to disciple. The person that he sends to mentor you, you're going to have a choice to make. The person he sends for you to disciple, like Ananias with Paul, you're going to have a choice to make. And in that space, they both head you in. Because you know that if you just walk circumspectly, you help this person who you're being an example. And if you lean on this person, he'll help you when you're in trouble. So at some point, you get help for the journey of faith. You might be wondering, why do I need to be transformed anyway? Because trials are coming. They're coming no matter what. Maybe you're here right now and you've been in trials for a long time. And the reason why you just keep going in circles is because you have not been transformed. You've heard the truth. You understand the truth, but there hasn't been a shifting in your heart. So God is saying to all of us, look, when Peter came to Antioch, he understood trials. You know who's going to be the biggest opposition for us in our trials? People. People. His brother, Peter. When Peter had spent some time with the Gentiles, Peter didn't have a problem eating pork chops and whatever else. He was grubbing. He had no problems eating with the Gentiles when his boys wasn't around. But when he got to Antioch, and because some of his boys was there, he wouldn't sit down and eat with the Gentiles. So here, Paul's like, I ain't having it. You know, Paul, he goes all in immediately. Right's right, and wrong is wrong. If you're complicit and silent, if you flip the script on your boys, you flip the script on your mellows or the people you're hanging with because somebody else is around, that's fear. Paul's like, he faced him. He's like, open, public opposition. Peter, that's wrong. Before you ate with them and now you won't eat with them. And look what happens. Because Peter sat down and wouldn't sit down and eat with the Gentiles, Barnabas was watching. Barnabas was being discipled by Peter. So now he's causing Barnabas to think, should I sit down and eat with them or not? So trials are coming. We got to face all of them. This one is interesting because sometimes we think when we're going through that we're the only ones. Nobody has ever been through what I'm going through. It could be, but likely somebody has been exactly, and by the way, even if it's very unique to you, God still can't fail. He says that there was no temptation, no trial, no thing that is such that is common to man that God has not made a way to escape it. That even Paul, when Paul began preaching and teaching, he did it with such power that he began to turn people's minds around and they began to plot against Paul in Damascus. They had to take Paul and let him down in a basket over the wall. God will make a way of escape. Whatever he needs to do, he'll do it. So whatever you're going through, you're not the only one. He's able. Paul and Silas was, if you remember, when they was in the Philippian jail, well, before they got to the jail, I'm going to go ahead and tell this one. Paul and Silas, there was only way to the synagogue, only way to church. And there was this woman who had a spirit of divination. She was a soothsayer. She could do horoscopes. And she was being used by these men for business. And she kept saying, and she looked at Paul and said, these men are the men of the Most High God, Acts 16. And Paul looked at it and said, demon, come out of her. When the demon came out of this woman, the people who were using her for their gain, they start lying on Paul and Silas. Matter of fact, they grabbed them and they beat them and they took them before the council. Say, these men are causing trouble. So not only did they put them in the prison, they put them in the inner prison underneath. I'm talking about trials. And in the midst of being in the prison, the Bible says that Paul and Silas began to pray. And they began to sing praises so loud that everybody in the prison heard them. And he said, when the prison's doors were shaken, everybody's bands were loosened. And I'm saying, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of how things are working in your life, your example of how you handle your trials will be a testimony before someone else. That when you get your blessing, other people are going to be blessed too. There was a jailer, and the jailer was like going to kill himself because he didn't do his job. And Paul and Silas called out. They said, no, do yourself no harm. We're all here. That same jailer, Paul and Silas, they preached the good news. And that jailer's whole household got saved. Amen. Amen. So I don't know. Maybe you're here and you're going through trials. Maybe prison. Maybe shipwrecked. Just because you've been in prison, just because you've been persecuted, don't mean you can't be filled with purpose for God. Trials. Sometimes we talk about the thorn that was in Paul's flesh. We don't know exactly what it was, but sometimes the thing that we keep praying about, the thing that we keep asking God to remove, the thing, sometimes it's for a reason. It was there, the thorn was there to humble him, to buffet him. I don't know what it was. Sometimes it's there for a reason. Sometimes the thing, no matter how many times you pray, God will be with you, he'll sit with you in it. Sometimes it's for a season. Maybe the season is so that you can connect because he's getting your attention. Sometimes that thing is there so you can come. You can be transformed. The thorn, he prayed about it for 3 times and it didn't go away. Sometimes it's for a reason, a season. Sometimes it's for completion. That it's for perfection. It'll perfect us. That God will use it to keep us on our knees. Trials. Sometimes we start with tradition, which is not bad, but the eager of tradition, sometimes we have that overcome the truth. But when we come with the truth, we understand that when we experience the truth, it should lead to transformation. And when we are transformed, we're transformed because trials are coming. And when trials come and we go through for ourselves and we see him for ourselves, we realize that we can trust him at his word. When trials come, he says that we can go all in because we can trust him. Paul understood that. That's why he said, forgetting the things that are behind me. I'm not concerned about all the things, whether it's good or bad. Forgetting the things that are behind, I'm still on this journey. And I'm going to press. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to press my way toward the mark of the high goal. I don't know what tomorrow might hold, but I am not going to give up. Can't stop. Can't stop. All in. That's where we're supposed to go. All in. Because it's easy to quit. When somebody dies in our life, something we don't understand, somebody we put all our confidence, we built our house on a bad foundation. A great person, but the wrong foundation. And when they're gone, we don't know what to do, where to go. We don't understand. It doesn't make sense. And I'm saying for all of us, when we go through those trials of life, when we go through those things we don't understand, and we look back over our lives, we see that God was with us the whole time. We know there is no way we would have made it if it had not been for the hand of God. And then we learn to trust him more and more and more, and then it opens up. Somebody know this one. Trust in the Lord with all. Not the fist-sized muscle that beats in your chest, but all of you, the seat of your emotion, all the stuff that you guard against because you don't want to feel the hurt and the brokenness. Love God, trust the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not into your own understanding, because we don't have a clue. Then, the question, who are you leaning on this morning? Who is your rock? I would say it's okay to have some folks that you're leaning on, but make sure they're leaning on the rock of ages. You don't have to walk by yourself. This journey, yeah, the journey is not a journey of faith by ourselves, but it's not a journey of fear. It's not just a journey of failure and flaws. It's a journey of faith that you can't see it. But once you experience it, you know for yourself, and it increases your faith. All right, so all of that to get us to a place of triumph. That God desires that all of us move from tradition. Let me put it like, we can be eager to follow the rules and tradition. Then we can be enlightened with the truth. The truth can be revealed to us, but not encountered in us. When we encounter transformation, that's because there's something that, and I guarantee you, most if not all of us, your hearts are right. Your hearts are right where it need to be. It's the actions. And sometimes we think because we fall short that we're failing. No. Give him your heart over and over and over. Best you can, give it to him. Right here? Right here? All of it. Just say, God, here I am. Walk with him day by day. Stop looking wherever if you do it or if you don't do it. If you're going down that road and you know the Spirit of God says turn around, turn around. And tomorrow, if you're going this way, turn around. All in. Keep going. Paul says, I fought the good fight. He told Timothy, I finished the race. I stayed faithful. He said, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord has for the righteous judge. He's promised my prize. He says to me, but for all who eagerly look for his appearing, the prize is not just for me. It's not just for preachers and pastors and people who look like they're spiritual. The prize is for you. One day, one moment at a time. Give him your heart. All in. Push your chips in. You can't take none of the stuff in this world with you. So at some level, say, God, I know I can still have swag. I can still have clothes. You don't have to give up your shoes. You can keep your sweet shoes, all your clothes. You can keep all that stuff. You can keep your house. Give him your heart. So today, don't be misled. Rules and principles have its place. In Galatians 6, 7 through 10, there's a rule, there's a principle, there's a tenet. And it goes like this. He says, God won't be mocked. He said, you can't deceive him. He said that if you sow to your flesh, when you sow to the flesh, envy, jealousy, bitterness, all the things that you know are flesh. If you sow those things, if you do those things, what you're going to get back as a harvest is flesh. It's going to happen. If you sow to it, it's going to come back. If you sow to your spirit, if you start to do things according to the Spirit of God, love, peace, joy, meekness, kindness, long-suffering, self-control. If you sow to your spirit, you're going to reap things that are spiritual. The problem is sometimes it works in your favor and sometimes it don't, and you're working on what is the consequence. And God says, don't be weary in your well-doing, because when the time is right, you're going to get yours. Keep going. Keep sowing. Keep doing the right thing. It's not based upon the consequence or the outcome. It's based upon your heart. Go all in. All right, so today, Paul says, it's impossible to live up to God's standards on our own, because the way of the flesh, our human efforts, and the way of the spirit are diametrically opposed. In fact, they're at war. He said that's why Galatians teaches us that the only way to obtain victory over the flesh is through grace. Then he says to us as I close, Paul's conversion experience was dramatic, traumatic, and emphatic. It was a dramatic event. He got knocked off a horse. It was traumatic. He could have hurt himself. He did go blind. It was emphatic that it was unmistakably God. You've had those experiences too. And he says to us, and although he continued to worship the same God he always worshiped, he came to see God's will point in another direction. God turned his life around. And he will turn your life around. From a persecutor to a preacher, from a murderer to a minister, why not you? Let us stand and get ready to receive communion on this first Sunday.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elam, follow us on Instagram at hope.elam or visit our website at hope-elam.org.